Let me begin this morning by saying thank you for being here. Everyone in one form or another got news this past week that nobody wanted to receive. It's the kind of news that causes you to think twice about coming to church, maybe. When your heart just isn't in that place of celebration and of worship, where do you go and what do you do? Today may not look like something that fits a mold that you're accustomed to, but we're doing our best, I guess, to help shepherd this congregation through an incredibly difficult time. And it made sense to us not out of triviality, but out of the reality of the message, that Psalm 23 was where we needed to spend some time today, where we needed to reorient our compass. And so again, the question of where do you go when your heart isn't in it and you don't feel like being there, this is where you come. Maybe the place you don't want to be, but the place that you need to be. To be reminded of who God is and who we are, and that we are His. We have an unusual approach this morning, as has been mentioned already. I don't know that it's really that unusual. We're not doing anything completely outside of the box other than breaking this up into some smaller components. But it seems that there's something we can learn from the 23rd Psalm, but maybe it's worth us spending some time in an area that's not so positive. Because maybe we're lying to ourselves as we look at the 23rd Psalm and sort of smile and say, yes, awesome, the Lord is my shepherd. But deep down inside, we don't feel that way. I don't know if you've spent much time in the Psalms or what you think of them as a general rule. There's some scholars and researchers out there who have done some interesting things and broken it down, but I don't have the numbers for you, but the reality is a vast number of the Psalms are actual lamentations, are authors bearing their souls of pain and anguish and of suffering. Almost exclusively, though, you will find that they don't remain in that place. And either at the end or maybe it's at the beginning of the individual psalm, the author will pen something to the effect of, the Lord is gracious and good, He's my comforter, my shield, something along those lines. But did you know there's a psalm that doesn't have any mention of that whatsoever? It truly is a depressing psalm, and so we're not going to read it today because I don't want to cause you to dwell in a place that we don't need to dwell in any further. But Psalm 88 is a truly heart-wrenching psalm, where the psalmist concludes basically by saying that death is his friend, and that he has no other friends. And maybe for us, whether it's I feel like I'm underwater or I'm just overwhelmed in a general sense, maybe that is more reflective for us today than the Psalm 23 that we know. A few years ago, that's a lot of years ago, it may in fact now be 20 years ago, I was attending Pepperdine, and Lynn Anderson, who some of you may know, wrote what he called the un-psalm, the un-23rd psalm. But he begins it, and we're going to read it here in a second. He begins with this comment that I think is the one we need to pay attention to. He says, if you were to convince me that there is no Father in heaven and Jesus never went to the cross for me, I think I would lose my mind. I might even lose my life, and I'm sure I would lose my soul. I would be a sheep without a shepherd. And my 23rd unsalm might sound something like this. And maybe this is how we feel this morning, if we're truly honest with ourselves. I am a sheep without a shepherd. I do not know whom to follow, and I'm utterly in want. I'm empty. Nothing satisfies. Nothing refreshes me. I find no real fulfillment, no lasting security, no real rest. I feel like a lost soul, totally, irretrievably depleted. I don't believe anyone walks with me in the darkest valley. And contemplation of my own mortality holds me all my lifetime in bondage under fear of death. For in that final hour, I will be profoundly alone. I feel misguided and I find no authentic comfort in anything. None. I feel unwelcome in my world, always hungry for something and totally overwhelmed by 1,000 threatening forces. My blistered head aches with no oil or relief. My joy cup is dry all the way to the bottom. Bone dry. I'm giving up hoping for any real quality to my life. In fact, genuine goodness and mercy have eluded me all of my days, and I don't really expect things to change. Oh, how I ache to belong somewhere. But I don't really feel at home anywhere, and I think I will feel lonely and homeless forever. What makes that psalm the unsung? Or said differently, what makes Psalm 23 Psalm 23? We are the sheep, but we have a shepherd. We have a good shepherd. A shepherd that will not let us down. And so we know that the end is written and we have a hope that causes us not to be people that identify with the unsung. Even though at moments we find ourselves in pockets of despair that may be reflective of that, we don't succumb. And so how do we work together as a community of faith in this hour of worship? How do we reconcile our loss, our pain, our suffering with a moment of worship and celebration to the Good Shepherd? Psalm 23 lays that path for us. And so that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning, in small snippets of that psalm, latching onto elements that are of significance, some of which, if you were here in our class, and I think most were, we shared as some thoughts and principles for us to continue by. The first of those is one, and I'm going to draw you back to a verse that Ambrose, I can't remember if it was his last sermon that he preached or the one right before it. But we're about to enter a moment of communion, and I think for us it's a time where we truly do think of communion in a much bigger way. If you will recall from a few weeks ago, it's a time when we are remembered as part of His family. That God remembers us. That the shepherd is watching out for His sheep. And that as we are somewhat scattered in this time of despair and anguish, our shepherd is calling us. But not only is He calling us, He is calling us by name. And so we are remembered into His flock. But one of our paths is simply being in community. And that's why we're here today, and that's the message Ambrose was trying to share with us just a couple of weeks ago. And I'm going to refresh your memory with these words that he read from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so as we enter this moment that David will share with us in just a minute or two, and reflect on communion, let it be something other than a trite experience of pulling from a cup next to your chair. But be reminded that today we truly do have a chair that we know is empty and it shouldn't be. And as we mourn the emptiness of that chair, let it be a time that we reach out to that person next to us, that we hold that hand, and that we celebrate a time of being in community. Because I think the psalmist in Psalm 23 is reminding us that we don't go it alone, that we need community, that we need to break bread in one another's homes. And so one way we've already started is there's going to be a meal train, for instance, for Ambrose. And of course, the reminder, we're not talking a potluck for six or a casserole, right? But does it have to be a meal for one? Or can it be a meal that is shared? And does it have to be at his house? Or can they be invited to your house? And does it just have to be Ambrose? Or can it be your neighbor sitting next to you today? We talked this morning. Bethany reminded us that this is a place that has meaning for Ambrose, and it's a place he likes to be in solitude as he works out his thoughts and prepares his messages. But it doesn't mean he needs to be lonely. And so if you happen to be someone that drives past this church, as Bethany said, and you see that car out there, take a few minutes to stop in, to give a hug, to get a hug. You don't have to say anything. Just be in community. Be in community. And celebrate breaking of bread and drinking together.
I'll be reading Psalms 46. God, the refuge of his people and conqueror of the nations. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each one that is here today to be in community with us at this time. Father, we just thank you so much for the faith that you've given us that we might have peace. And Father, help us to share our faith so that others may come to peace. And that we might be able to help each other and help each other up and serve each other and care for each other this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can't tell you how much I appreciate the shepherds of this church. We're dwelling this morning in the 23rd Psalm, which reminds us of the great and good shepherd. But we have shepherds among us in this flock, and we're grateful for them. I had a lot of support putting our worship together. We were very intentional this morning, recognizing again that this may not resonate with everyone, but that there may be something here that does for you. And so it's our hope, whether it be a particular song, whether it be even an image, whether it be the words of Scripture, whether it be a prayer, may there be something in there for you. The one which we are called to consider now, which Mark has reminded us of in the longer Psalm 46, is how that psalm ended, with a phrase that is so familiar to us and with words that we just sang. Be still and know that I am God. In Psalm 23, he sort of touches on that in verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. There's a message in here for us about stillness. This image is one I came across this week. It's fascinating to me, just from an image perspective. But the story behind it is as tragic as our own. At this moment, this is an Australian farmer who had the wherewithal to capture this with a drone, but he designed this for his aunt who passed and to whose funeral he could not be present because of COVID restrictions in that country. And so rather than saying nothing, he said this, and he laid out for his sheep barley and wheat in the shape of a heart that he could communicate with just an image 1,000 times over what he may have thought to say had he been present at that funeral. And so the call and the reminder for us this morning is sometimes we need to be still. As we process our loss, as we process our suffering, it's easy to get caught up in what we've lost, but it's equally easy, especially as I think of Ambrose, to get caught up in all the activity that surrounds what must be done from a logistics standpoint when there is loss. There's so many things that have to be taken care of. Who's going to do this? Who's going to call a funeral home? Who's going to... You fill in the blank of all the things that have to be done, all the activity and the busyness that can so easily overwhelm this family in these moments. And so we're called to be messengers of peace and of calm and of quiet. And if necessary, for us to reach out and to say, come and take a break. come grab a coffee with me and let's just be still. It's a topic we covered lightly several months ago when we were doing our adult Bible study, and so not necessarily everybody in here remembers it, but there's a phrase that I grew up with in South Africa that was commonly used as sort of an admonition from a parent to a child that many, if not all of us in here, can identify with. When you're trying to be serious and focused and the children are running around making noise. And that phrase in Afrikaans, which is the second official white language in South Africa, is "bly stil." Loosely translated, we just think of it as "shut up," "be quiet," right? But there's a deeper connotation to the phrase and the reason that they have those particular words. And that connotation is to be still. There's a temptation for us to want to be busy, for us to want to do. And it's okay. But let's take time to reflect, to be still, to celebrate who God is, what He's done for us, to celebrate who Renee is to us, who that family is to us, and who we are to one another. Let's just take time, not try to ignore and pretend that we have worries and troubles. But as the writer said in Psalm 23, allow ourselves to be in the valley. In the valley of the shadow of death. There is no prescription in that psalm that says, don't go through that valley. But rather it says, my shepherd leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we find ourselves there this morning, not pretending that we're not, but using this as a moment to simply be still and be reminded that glory be to God, the end has been decided, and we know that as much as we feel the sense of an empty chair and a voice not singing with us today, that there is now an occupied seat with the Father whose voice gets to ring true. Let us celebrate to the extent we can being still. And in our stillness, be reminded that He is God. So I think a lot of what we've talked about this morning is what we instinctively as a church know to do. We said it in our class earlier, and I think it's a differentiator for a church family versus a not church family. And aren't we so fortunate to have this family? Aren't we so blessed to have one another so that when I may falter, David is there to pick me up. And when David may falter, Paul is there to pick him up. And that we are there for one another and that we are there in community, but more than just community, we have a reminder that sometimes we just need to sit with our grief, to be still and to let the tears flow. We looked a little bit this morning at the account of Job. And what a great example his three friends set at the beginning. Right? For 7 days. They didn't go to Job and say, hey, would you like for us to come over? What they did do was they got together and said, hey, our friend is suffering. Let us go, sympathize with him, and comfort him. And so this morning we do that together. And we make plans to go and be with and be in communion with and support. But sometimes, just by being. These verses here, and actually the first, let me, before I read these, refresh your memory on, where did I put my glasses? I left my glasses somewhere. They're readers, but I'm at the point where they're necessary. So thank you. We just mentioned it a few moments ago. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Did we just sing that song? Or did we mean that song that says, he knows my name? It's the fascinating thing about shepherding and sheep that we've come to learn is that no matter how many flocks may be on a given mountainside, how many different flocks with different shepherds, what do they have in common but that the sheep know the shepherd's voice and the shepherd knows his sheep? That's where we find ourselves today, with a good shepherd who knows us, who knows our suffering, who knows our pain, and who walks with us. Not who just opens the gate and lets us go, but who walks alongside us, who sits with us. And so the reminder is, as we think more specifically about being in communion, we think about this is a time, but not the only time, right? We're in it for the long haul, that we walk with, and we will continue to walk with. We covered it a few weeks ago. I can't remember again. I want to say it was in the class, but some of you remember that little sort of almost a poem that was on a card. I used to have it when I was a teenager. It was the size that would fit in a wallet, and it was the poem on footprints. You remember the account, right, with his two sets of footprints as we walk alongside Jesus. And then the moment of despair and disappointment and frustration for only one set of footprints. And Lord, why did you leave me when I needed you most? And what are we reminded at the end? That the footprints that were solitary were not ours, but that they were his when he was carrying us. And so we ask for that today, that he would walk with us, that he would carry us. And so from Matthew, these verses resonated for me as we saw even the shepherd himself saw that it was necessary to retreat, to be still, to pray to the Father, but more than that, listen. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. What do I love about this verse? Is he didn't try to go it alone. He took friends because he felt like he needed them. His heart was grieving. He began to be sorrowful and troubled to the point where he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Who among us would not wish for this to pass? And for us to have Renee in our presence this morning with Ambrose, with little Ambrose, and wish for this cup to pass. And yet, that is not where we are today, but where we are is with the shepherd who has been to that very place, who knows how we feel, who recognizes that we're in the valley, but who walks with us in that valley. And so let us be that for one another. I heard a great message so many years ago, I can't remember who to credit it to, about this verse from the 23rd Psalm about walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And it was a message or a point, if you will, about the psalmist giving us permission to walk in the valley, maybe even pitch a tent and stay a while, but not to pour a foundation and build our home there. And so we are hurting and we're grieving and we're suffering, and we will continue to do so for different amounts of time for different people. The length is not the question. The goal, I don't know the goal other than to do it together. To do it together. And to be reminded that we have a shepherd who is the good shepherd, who doesn't let us go the path of grief alone, but that we can do it in community, that we walk with that shepherd. And when we need to be quiet and we need to still our troubled spirits, we find a way to do it. I would encourage you, as we have a moment of prayer, to reach out to someone next to you, to be a source of strength for that person and to allow them to be that for you. To be okay with your heart not being in a great place today. As so many psalmists have articulated, sometimes we need to be in a place of lament and in a place of mourning. And not every service can be one that is a uplifting, upbeat, feels-good moment. And today is one of those, because our hearts are broken and we shouldn't pretend otherwise. And so let's not celebrate the grief, but celebrate that we know the end has been written, that we know where our friend is, and that we know with certainty that we shall see her again. Let us have a prayer. Father, our gracious God, we struggle with words, and so as you have given us an assurance that your Spirit would translate for us, we need your Spirit today, Father. With scars, there is healing. I mean, we didn't ask for this scar. We didn't ask for this pain. And we're not sure that we see a way out. And so this morning, we place our hand in yours. We trust in your rod and your staff, that you would be for us the good shepherd, that you would lead us to greener pastures and to still waters. And may we in turn, Father, be that for Ambrose and for little Ambrose and for their family. Give us your strength that we can be for them the shepherds that they need. This is our humble prayer in the name of our Lord and of our Savior, who gives us an assurance that the victory has been won. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.